Morning. It's Thursday morning, and it's a beautiful autumnal day, or a beautiful fall day, depending on where you're listening to me, in Cork, Ireland. And I'm just setting off for work. It's 9:25. I don't know if what I've been doing so far this morning you might call work, but I'm preparing to go to an unconference, and that's another story. But I've also been preparing to compose and publish the third edition of our company's newsletter. And so what follows next, if you're not interested in what could go into a business newsletter, then stop listening now, because all the rest of this audiobook is going to be entirely about fresh content that's going to go on the Change Agent Branding newsletter, if it turns out to be good enough. And it's a story. It's a story about Joe. Joe went to a school in Limerick which had a playground. It was a large square playground at the back of the school. It felt large to Joe. Probably by modern standards, in some big schools which have over 1,500 pupils, it wouldn't be such a large playground. In the corner of the playground, or one end of the playground, was an alley where Joe used to play handball. The markings on the ground, of the playground, let the playground be used for tennis as well. So there were little holes on either side of the playground, into which could be fixed posts and nets and stuff like that. There was a gate at one corner of the playground, in through which people came with their bicycles, cycled up along a laneway past an abattoir, which was horribly smelly, into the school playground. And if they were early and there was nobody there, they could cycle down and park their bicycles underground in underneath the school. Or if it was full of people, they would just have to walk their bicycle through the milling kids who were running around, who were crazy, who were in gangs, who were fighting, who were chasing each other, some were just chatting. And I suppose there were one or two who had, more than one or two, there were some who had even sneaked off to the toilets, which were down off the playground, to have a fag. Yeah, it was alive, this playground. It was full of energy, vitality. And Joe can remember what went on that playground better than he can remember what went on in his family. There are a few very strong memories, you know, 60 years later practically, or 50 years later, or even 40 years later, etched into Joe's memory. He will never lose until he, you know, goes down with Alzheimer's or something like that. Yeah, the playground was vivid in Joe's mind. It was terrifying. Terrifying in that there were times in that playground, in the many years that he spent hanging around that playground in different degrees of energy and different kind of habits. But there were many times when he was terrified, when he got into a number of fights. And there was always somebody bigger and stronger, and actually more cold-blooded and vicious than Joe. So Joe remembers the playground as a place of violence. In addition to that, Joe remembers the playground as a place of fun, of incredible fun, lightheartedness, joking, running around, kicking a ball up against the wall, beating a ball up against the wall with a tennis racket. Yeah, trying to catch, well, it wasn't all balls, you know, it wasn't all balls in the playground, but there were balls in the playground, there were stories in that playground, there was taking the piss out of people in the playground, there was fun, having the piss taken out of him. Joe remembered having the piss taken out of him. The other gang, for example, would do that. So it was a place where there were gangs. Maybe not gangs of New York, of the kind we got used to seeing on TV, or gangs from Love Hate, but gangs, you know. And there could be, you know, were you in with, you know, with Mickle? Or were you in with Mick? Their names, not fictitious, real names for real people who were in Joe's class or around Joe's class at the time. There was this class against that class, and there was this crowd against that crowd. The main thing is that the playground was, is, and has been always a vivid memory in Joe's life. He'll never, ever forget it. It's crazy that he should find it harder to remember what went on at home every day, day in, day out, within the, you know, solid confines, if you like, of home life, where adults set rules, where there was set times for tea. Now, in the school playground, there were set times. You were only allowed in there at certain times, unless you sneaked out there in order to go to the toilet, and if you did, you could be seen by the powers that be. So therefore, you know, people only used the playground within certain hours. So it isn't as if Joe felt completely and utterly powerful within that playground, but he certainly did feel very powerful. The adults didn't set the rules about how kids would chase each other, how they would, you know, fight, how they would pass smart remarks, tell stories, make each other laugh, all that stuff. The adults were not in control of that. Every now and again, the adults would try to intervene. If, for example, you know, somebody got hurt, you know, somebody pushed somebody, they fell over and they cut their knee and the kid had to go and have bandage put on, or else had to bite firmly into a stiff upper lip and carry on regardless without telling anybody, because it certainly was a bit of a sissy thing to do, to go to. There wasn't actually a school nurse when Joe was at school, but there was somebody. Somebody who would have looked at. But no, there wasn't much running to the authorities out of this playground. There was, you could say, mayhem and anarchy, but actually there were plenty of rules. Just wasn't altogether easy for an outsider to see what the rules, the norms, the mores, the patterns of behaviour really were in the school playground. And this is the key point. This is the key point. Memory. Memory. Even though the memory of the school playground wasn't, you know, perfectly satisfying, even though at times, and particularly because at times, the memory of the school playground was, you know, insufferable, the school playground has, you know, has had a personality as big as a human being. I mean, it wasn't just, and it never is even to this day when Joe thinks about it, it isn't a totally consistent, it's an irrational place. Yes, it's a place into which logical things like the game of tennis can be put, or whatever. You can actually, the space could be used in a highly structured, rule-governed way. But the real memory of the school playground was a place of play. Play. Where all the drama of human life spilled out. Opened up. And Joe, in later years, came to love the phrase, which was somebody else's, in case Joe ever thought that he had invented it, the wilderness of unopened life. That playground was, in its essence, a wilderness, a place for wild things, wild, undomesticated things, a wilderness of unopened life, right? Potential bursting out all over the place. Hormones, energy, brain connections being made, imaginations being strung out. Yeah. Surprises, shocks. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to test whether my gang is stronger than their gang, whether my position in the gang is that I'm going to get to be the leader. I want to be the leader, the leader. I want to be the leader. Yes, Joe remembers how he wanted to be the leader and never was the leader. Oh no, somebody else was always the leader. At the same time, Joe had a little bit of himself that was couldn't be led by anybody else except, well, couldn't be led by anybody else. A little bit of himself that was himself, free of the weakness to comply, which was non-compliant, which might even stand up for itself without appearing to stand up for itself. Joe bided his time. Never revealed his full hand. Always had a little bit of himself in reserve. That was the little bit out of which he constructed the rest of his life, he often said to himself. That little bit that he did not expose to being battered in that playground. The bit he kept to himself, that was actually the seed. Or was it the fertile ground in which the seed was planted? Who knows? Whatever metaphor you like, Joe was aware that play was everything. And then Joe went to work. Joe went off to work, and Joe went and he worked, did his selection process to get a job. Very clear, very impressively organized, whatever. Nothing playful about the selection process for work. Joe's first day, his induction began. And in fact, his induction went on over, let's say, about 3 months. It was about 3 months before Joe was actually able to do his job at the fullness of his ability. And in fact, over his life, looking back over his life and several jobs that Joe had, would say that, you know, some of them took him longer to learn how to do the job than others. But that wasn't play. There was no way that was play. that was learn a lot as quickly as possible. And in fact, the hardest thing to learn were the unwritten rules. I mean, it was easy enough to get the HR manual and have a look in that and see what the policies were and see what the company's values were and all that. But the unwritten rules? Joe always found it difficult to grasp the unwritten rules. Because he was fundamentally non-compliant anyway. The little bit of him that had been tiny in the school playground had grown and grown gradually. So eventually in his most recent job, Joe was a thoroughgoing non-compliant, but he complied in the sense that he, you know, conformed with the boundaries that had been set by the, that were set by the powers that be. Yes, Joe wasn't stupid. Joe wasn't off the wall crazy. And actually, Joe didn't have the courage to be, you know, so different that he could be, you know, beyond the pale, as they say in Ireland. Okay. Out there with the barbarians, as you know, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire might have said. No, Joe was an ordinary person like you or me. He had his strengths, he had his weaknesses, but certainly coming into his job, there was nothing playful about that. He then rose in the hierarchy and the work. He rose up through the ranks. He started off at the bottom. He became a lowly supervisory manager, supervising a small team of people, delivering a small aspect of the total service that the company was delivering. He then became a middle manager. Big career shift. He then was the manager of some supervisory managers, and he was responsible for a wider area. There was absolutely nothing playful about that. It was a grind. It was the kind of situation where if you screamed in the middle of the morning at work, out of the blue, it wouldn't just be regarded as, you know, an idiosyncrasy of you and just taken. It wasn't just that you'd be teased about it, as you would have been in the school playground, have the piss taken out of you. No. People would mark your card. You would be classified, you would be put in a box, and or certainly that's what Joe felt. So it definitely, he wasn't letting himself out to play at work. Joe went from middle management into senior management. In senior management, he went to a lot of meetings. In fact, life seemed to be nothing but meetings. He dealt with strategy, he dealt with planning, he dealt with contingencies, he dealt with forecasts, he dealt with all of this stuff, which was definitely not. No. There was no way his boss was going to laugh or smile or allow anyone else to crack jokes except his own. No, this was a focus company. Joe delivered fabulous business results. But it wasn't play. It definitely wasn't play. There was nothing funny about it. There was nothing even irrationality, you know, completely off the wall kind of thinking was frowned on, really. Barely tolerated. But you were certainly a bit ostracized if you didn't toe the party line. And certainly Joe was able to be as good a calculator as anybody else about what the boss would like to hear. And Joe did, at times, not all the time, but at times, Joe told the boss exactly what the boss wanted to know. And that was by far the safest thing. And that was a bit like what it was like. There was a whole question of power within the... Now, the fact that there was power, one person was more powerful than the others within work, reminded Joe of the school playground. It definitely reminded him of the school bully. Reminded him of somebody who he regarded as a bully, who would have been perhaps insulted. In fact, would have exacted retribution for the description of being a bully. Oh yeah, Joe, little things about work did remind Joe about being in that playground. And when Joe became CEO, when he became the top dog, and when he, you know, chaired the board meetings, and when he... you know, communicated to the shareholders, and when he went and represented the company at conferences, when he went to meet ministers to lobby them on behalf of his company, there was nothing playful about the way in which Joe did that. Oh no. That was very structured. There were lots of position papers. There were lots of preparation. Everybody had to present their papers to the board in a specified way. It was called quality assurance. It was called getting everybody singing off the same hymn book. There was a standardization of internal communication at board level so that every member of the board would present their position papers to the board with a one-page summary in front. And the one-page summary would be full of words, totally words. There'd be nothing but words on it, right? There'd be no pictures, of course. There'd be no doodles. There'd be no cartoons. There'd be no sketches. Even infographics were frowned upon in the company that Joe first became CEO in. Yeah, there were bits of play. They went off to play golf on the golf course sometimes. Joe went with the lads off to play golf. He was a mad keen golfer, really. He had a kind of weakness, and people knew that. So they would invite him to come and play golf. Sometimes even to take the heat off themselves. So it was a little bit like the school playground where... you would kind of distract the other crowd so they wouldn't notice that you were sneaking up on them from the other side. So there was a lot of feints and maneuvers and ins and outs and all that sort of thing. So there were plenty in the workplace that Joe came to see gradually. It was just like the old school playground back in Limerick. When he was 7, when he was 6, when he was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Until, of course, he became, you know, too hip to hang out in the school playground and instead, you know, looked down on it from other places. Yeah. The school playground hadn't always been just fun. Joe didn't, at the beginning, have very much fun. He nearly went under, actually. He nearly went under. He worked so many long hours. He had become so adept at the old company culture that he knew how to play the game. And for a long time, that's what he did. He led the company in the way that other leaders had led the company. And after all, as people would say to Joe, this company's been here for 120 years. They must have done something right. Yeah. Yes. That was all right until the day came when Joe realized that he was heading inevitably towards retirement. And that by the time he'd retire... as the CEO of the company, maybe he'd even get an early retirement and a payoff and a this, that and the other. But as he retired, he wouldn't have had much fun. Joe was now in his 50s, very rich, loads of money, got paid an awful lot. But he was very time poor, had very little time to play golf. He did actually get out for the annual golf outing, and he got invited to one or two things, and he went away to a few think tank weekends with very important people, and he inputted in a small, tiny way into Davos. Yeah, into Davos. Joe, but that wasn't enough. Joe was far from a comfortable...